Welcome to MTF's This is Africa, the filmmakers podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. Woo! We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Serene Serena, filmmaker and scriptwriter.
And I'm Nikita Neomokhware, scriptwriter and actress. Today, we're going to be talking about new content covering everything from period dramas to comedy sequels.
Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be talking to Abi Matere, executive producer and CEO of Zamaridi Productions in Kenya, about her exciting new project.
Our first Kenyan guest. And last week was our first Zambian guest.
And the week before, that was our first Angolan
guest. We really out here collecting them, bro. Like, slowly but surely. Slowly but surely.
Gotta catch them all. What happens when we do collect them all?
What? Okay, let's cross that bridge when we get there. Let's focus on the collecting, all right?
And we'll get there. We're manifesting this.
Manifest. Mm. But you know which country I don't know much about?
Many?
Well, okay, yeah, thanks for the drag. But also, there's one in particular, right? And it's Tanzania. Tanzania, bro.
Yeah, you know, another. I have a friend who lives in Tanzania, but like, I don't know if you should call them friends because it's been a while.
Oh, man.
But I don't really know much about this place.
For the longest time, I thought people made that place up. I mean, I didn't.
Nikki.
I genuinely don't know that much about it. Like, I didn't know Tanzania's official languages, you know, for one.
Okay, but one of them is Swahili.
Well,
right?
Yes. At least I found that out. Yes, Swahili and English. And you know, it's also like three times the size of Italy.
Okay.
And it's right here by the border of Mozambique. I thought it was somewhere else. I'm too scared to tell you where, but I really thought it was somewhere else.
Okay. Remember, we're supposed to talk films. So okay, where are we going with this?
Okay. So it's just that I'm trying to drive home, right, the importance of the film that I'm about to talk to you about, right? It's coming from Tanzania, and it's a period drama called Vuta Nguvuti, a tug of war.
Oh, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A tug of war. And it's based on the famous Adam Shafi's award-winning Swahili novel, and that's been taught in like high schools across the country. So first of all, I love adaptations.
Yeah, right? I guess. I mean, they can be all right if they're done well.
Whoa, why are you sounding like you don't agree with me?
No, like just sometimes people... Are you done? Okay.
Okay.
It's just that sometimes people can be so focused on like, you know, the thing that they're adapting.
Yeah.
And not on creating a good story for the audience. So like, you know, it ends up really not feeling natural, not feeling real.
Aww.
Now we're just left with this film that's not really living up to what it's sought to adapt.
Yeah, okay. You have a point there. But still excited about the drama, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, besides the fact of it's an adaptation, I'm also excited about who's adapting it. Because it's going to be Tanzanian-based freelance filmmaker and lecturer at the University of Dar es Salaam, Amil Shivji.
Okay, go on.
Amil. So he's a holder of a Master's of Fine Arts, right? An MFA degree from York University in Canada. He's also founder of Kijweni Productions, right there in Tanzania.
Okay.
And under it, he released his directional debut for a feature film called T-Junction that was done in 2017. It opened in the ZIFF Film Festival, and it garnered 3 awards on closing night.
Okay, that's a lot. That's
right?
Impressive. It must have been quite the movie, hey?
Yeah, it's got quite the bio. Well, I mean, I wish I could. All I could find was the trailer of the movie.
No, I've noticed, like, for a lot of these short films, we have to rely just on trailers.
Right? Like, they get showcased at festivals, and then we sometimes just never hear or see from them again. It happens with so many short films.
Mm.
And it's so frustrating because nowadays, people are more aware of short films and how cool they can be, and people are really going all out for a lot of short films. Some of them have budgets akin to feature films.
Mm.
And it's a shame that we never get to see them.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about seeing them, it's obviously like down to distribution.
Mm.
Like, do you know how many short films that made actually ever get distributed?
How many?
Less than 30%.
What? Oh,
so, yeah, no, clearly it's a thing.
Less than 30%. We have to bump that percentage up, man.
Mm.
Too many amazing films are coming and going, and all that's left is trailer, full stop.
I mean, and I'm also sure that there are platforms out there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, the films don't just end at a festival, period.
Yeah, they
but maybe there should be more.
That's
we obviously need more, especially for African short films.
Yeah, because people always say there are platforms there, and we know they are. It's just why does it feel like there needs to be more? You know? So we really do need more focus on that. Yeah, I want to watch short films, guys. They're so nice. But yes, the trailer was, as usual, done very well. And the film itself is centered around two young women where one's telling her life story to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, you know, that's listening, she becomes fascinated by this life story. So from what I could see, Emil seems to be a filmmaker whose work challenges the powers that be, you know. He emphasizes the struggles of marginalized communities. It's apparent in T-Junction, and apparently that's also what he's going for again in the period drama.
So is this a theme for his period drama as well?
Exactly. So it's a coming, the period drama itself, I didn't even explain it properly.
No.
The period But yes, the period drama itself, it's a coming of age political story, you know, about love, resistance. Set in the final years of British colonial Zanzibar. And it follows the story of a runaway Indian Zanzibari bride who forms a strong bond with the young communist in British colonial Zanzibar again in the 1950s. So, you know, all of this is based there. And it's, you know, basically a love story, but it's centered during a huge time of resistance and political strife.
I wonder how Tanzania looked and worked back then. You know, like, if it's anything similar to what other African countries went through, because, you know, back then there was a lot of strife, a lot of struggle.
Yeah. Like, even though a lot of countries were colonized back then, I'm sure everyone had their own laws, their own regulations and stuff. So it's a really good question. Like, you know, how is it different to what we were experiencing?
Or how similar is it?
Oh, how similar, exactly. And I'm also interested in how Emir plans to tell it. You know, he mentioned to one of our contributors that he wants to tell an anti-colonial story from the Tanzanian perspective. And that's been the push factor for him. It's kept him going for this long. And the story, being an adaptation, proves to his fellow filmmakers that, listen, there's a new avenue to tell stories from, you know, beyond the normal forms of storytelling. So I'm really interested by him saying this, because now I'm just like, okay, what forms are you talking about? I am very excited to see.
You know, but definitely, you know, also for me, like, we keep saying how little we know about Tanzania. And I think it's really good that we're going to see more of it.
Thank you.
You know, our African film industry really is also just pushing to do better and better,
better.
I love 2021. Better. I'm really loving it. I really can't wait to see the results.
And maybe you were right that first episode. Maybe
there
we
go.
Should be positive. Just
see,
a little.
Serena is always right.
Hey, I didn't say that. May I just say, let's be positive. Anyway, yes, speaking of these results and stuff, you know, results being more like adaptations, for example. So results being more shows. And possibly projects that combine both, like Kina, a Kenyan show that is an adaptation, see, it's come up again, adaptation of South Africa's widely successful show, The River. This show is currently being worked on by our guest, Api Matere, executive producer of Kina and CEO of Zamaradi Productions in Kenya. Hi, Api.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Ah, we're wonderful this side. So, so happy to have you on here. So tell us about yourself, you know, like, brief history, position in the industry. Like, what got you to where you are now?
Okay, my name is Api Matere. I'm the CEO, executive producer, Zamaradi Productions. I've been at the game for the last 13 years. It's been a long time. So, and as we have 13 hours, then we can give the story. But I'll try and make it as brief as possible. I came into the industry and started off as a production assistant. So I've actually just grown from being a production assistant to production coordinator, manager, line producer, producing, and now executive producer. I have worked on a lot of Kenyan shows. Many of them, I can mention all of them unless we have so much time, but yeah, so basically that's been my journey. I didn't go to film school, so I joined in as a production assistant, which has been the best thing because I have learned on the job.
I can imagine.
No, that's beautiful. Experience is a really big thing
it's
in our industry. I mean, you can have all the qualifications, but if you don't know what to do with it,
then you're stuck.
Yes, exactly. That's a different thing, yes.
Mm. So let's talk about Kina, the adaptation of the hit South African program, The River. How and why did you come to make this adaptation?
Actually, it was very interesting because what happened is the MNET office here in Kenya called a few production companies and requested them to go in and pitch to adapt the river.
Yeah,
so okay. When we got the call, the first thing I did is, of course, went online and watched the first, I think 13 episodes, then they were on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So we watched the episodes and we called back and said, We fell in love with the story. Then we called and said, you know what, we've fallen in love with the story. Please, 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 can we just be the ones to do it? So, of course, but we had to go pitch. Mm-hmm. So we had to pitch like everybody else. So we went in and pitched for the show.
Yeah, and I can imagine the nerves that were there when you're pitching. Like, how did it go? How do you think it
went? Initially, when we went in, we didn't realize that we needed to, The whole idea was to adapt it to the Kenyans. We, you know, at first we thought we were going to do it as is. Mm-hmm. So when we went in for the meeting, we were told now we have to come up with the adaptation. What is the element that is going to be relatable to East Africa and also Kenya? And it took us like 3 weeks for us to figure out how to what to do, because you would come up with construction, you'd come up with, all different of elements. Yeah. Then we have a very nice creative team. I think one time they called me, that was George Mungai and Victor Gatonye. Mm-hmm. One day they called me and said, I think we figured out. So I was like, okay, let me hear. The minute they mentioned water, I was like, yes, that's it.
What?
That's okay. How we're going to adapt it. So because you look at the river, South Africa river, the elements that makes the family so much money, it's mining. And in every average South African, they understand mining because it's part of their background, their history, they're always mining.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we don't have mining. So we thought, what would be that thing that every Kenyan would relate to? And when we thought water, and it's basically bottled mineral water, which not every Kenyan can afford to buy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So our family fortune now comes from the water bottling company. But the catch is it's just not any water. It's a natural spring water.
And those are rare. Those are very rare.
Yes. So they get their water from the natural spring and they bottle it for selling. So they sell their water to high-end restaurants, supermarkets. Okay. So they position themselves as high-end water suppliers.
So that's what makes Kina different from the river. Just the focus.
Sorry?
So that's what makes Kina different from the river.
Yes. So that's one of the things that makes Kina different from the river.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, of course, that changed significantly was the character.
Okay.
If you look at the river, their firstborn is a son, but then what topics they're touching on are topics that we cannot touch on in terms of the rule of the law for Kenya.
Really?
So then we had to switch our character to be the firstborn to be a girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what law are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why exactly in Kenya wouldn't it have hit?
So now it's basically, but the thing is, we've kept the story true to its original concept because it's very bold and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kept the original plot of the story because that is very powerful and we cannot want to change that. But so some of the things changed. So even if the character is a female, not male, we still kept the storylines.
Yeah.
But then we made them true to our nature, true to what any Kenyan can relate to.
So what I was asking is, what law exactly are you talking about when you say that you had to change it from a boy to a girl? Like, we're not too caught up with what's going on in Kenya in terms of that. So we'd love to learn more about that.
Okay, so we cannot do LGBT storylines.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yes.
So that was the major conflict.
I see.
Yes, that was a major conflict. So we cannot touch on that topic.
Uh-huh. So you had to get creative then with how else you can.
Yes, we had to get creative now and now change the character.
Okay, all right. No, it makes sense to us now. We understand it. I mean, whenever you think adaptation, you think, you know, you're basically just converting it from...
Word for word.
Word for word, you know, from just the fact that it's a South African setting or location, just make a Kenyan, slap a name on it, and you call it a day.
No, not really. Actually, the story plot here remains the same, but then there's also a lot of twists that even when you look at the comments and everybody's like, okay, it's the same, the river, but it's very different. And our story, then the Kenyans will find that they're saying that our story is very different from South African and they can relate to. So we have to make sure that we stay true to our story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's so many things that change in between. Like also, for example, like the setup where the family lives in. The family lives in our setup. They live in Runda.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have townships, so the workers for the factory live in a village instead of a township.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but they're very practical changes. I mean, like you're saying, it still keeps the story bold and riveting. It's just a matter of ensuring that it applies to, you know, its market now. I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah. And then another thing that I'm sure most people have not noticed is the South African version, the river is 19 minutes on screen or 22 minutes on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Our requirement is 26 minutes on screen. Ooh. So we have added a few scenes in between our shows as well.
I can imagine. Yo, that's a lot of minutes, especially for production. It may not seem like a lot.
That's a lot of minutes.
But yeah, when you know.
When you've been in this,
then you're like, oh my God. So we have to add a lot and still remain true to the story. So, I'll big up to the adaptation team. Damaris is doing a fantastic job on that.
Definitely. It's beautiful.
So then, because you've been in the industry for quite a while, and we just wanted, you know, very briefly, but we just wanted to get your take on the Kenyan film industry, you know, especially since you did mention that you had to change a few things due to the law in the country. So just how is the film industry in Kenya? How does it adapt? Where do you see it going?
Currently, it seems that it's like a flower that has just blossomed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot happening.
Wonderful.
So we found that we've been around for some time, and we feel like we've been kept in a space where we've not been allowed to be very creative and be able to tell our bold stories.
Yeah.
But it feels like that has since changed, because also then we have different players. We have different broadcasters coming on into space, especially on the online platforms coming up. So those are really helping, because now, before we had only free to air and everything was boxed into a certain element. And this is how much you can produce and go within this box.
Yeah.
But now with the different players coming into the box, then you find that the creativity has gone up and everybody is now out there producing their content. It feels like everything is just blown out of place, and there's a lot happening. You find the type of content that's coming from Kenya, it's amazing. We've got a few shows. If you look at the Showmax, if you look at Maisha Magic Plus, you look at Maisha Magic East, and all the other channels that have opened up within East Africa, then you can see the difference and the quality of the productions that are coming up from these regions. So I think now this is the future. I think everybody's going to be coming to Kenya or East Africa to look at what stories are here, because we haven't really told our stories yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to hearing them.
We look forward to watching. Excited. We look forward to working with you. Yeah.
That'll be great. So then
there's a lot from Kenya on Showmax, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if people go in there, you find a lot of TV series on Showmax.
Nice.
We need to set a time. Nikki, we're adding more to our list.
Yeah.
So are there any other upcoming projects from you that we can look out for?
And not yet. I don't think I can talk about them right now because they're still in the pitching process. But yes, I think if you follow me, you'll definitely see that there'll be other projects coming up.
Wonderful.
We love to hear that. We love to hear that.
Yeah.
So where and how can we connect with you? We'd love to get in touch with you.
Oh, so the best is looking at social media. My Instagram is, my goodness, it's Api Matera.
Take your time.
Yes. My Twitter handle is at Wangidi.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, I'm still at Api Matera.
All right.
I'm still that old. I'm still old school. That's how far I've gone in social media.
Oh, it's all right. You know what? These are still the three main players anyway.
Exactly.
So honestly, you're great. You're fine.
Doing just fine.
I've tried, yeah? Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, too. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing more from you. We look forward to more episodes of Kina.
Continue
definitely.
Doing amazing work on
Super.
There.
Thank
it
you so
like
much.
You guys are doing a really good job.
Looking forward to.
Yeah, the adaptation sounds lit. Phew. Eastern Africa is pumping out the content this year. Huh?
They are. Woo-hoo. And the party doesn't stop there. Uganda is also coming through with a family musical. And yes, it involves kids.
Oh my gosh. Family-friendly content for the win. Mm-hmm. You know, I find it so hard to write that kind of content, eh?
It's not that hard. Well, for me anyway. Like, you know what I do?
For the rest of us.
Just imagine one of your younger relatives is writing the script with you.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
That's very clever, yeah.
Because it's basically like, okay, I want to write this. How would you take it? You know, it's just like basically like that kind of bouncing off ideas.
Yeah.
But I guess you're kind of using your imagination because your younger cousin usually isn't there with you. But you get what I mean.
You kind of get
into the zone.
Yeah.
That's how it works for me.
I'm just thinking about it now. I'm definitely going to use that.
I love writing kids shows. So it works like a charm. It works like a charm for me.
No. I'm definitely going to write that.
Where did that
down.
Notepad even come?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
It's fine. Yes. So the musical. Musical.
Yeah, so after seeing majority of the kids stay out of school during this COVID pandemic, Ugandan filmmaker Alan Manzi thought of a brilliant way to keep them engaged and hooked with this new family musical drama series called Junior Drama Club.
Oh, the innovation jumped out.
You know where there's a will.
There's a way. Times were tough, you know. And Man said, no, it's fine. I'm tougher.
And now look what we have because of it. It's a series which has a really strong cast of different personalities that follow the lives of six young pupils. Oh. It explores, you know, the ups and downs that they get to face in their daily lives at school, from bullying to sexual harassment and social media pressure.
Okay. So heavy stuff is still prevalent, I see.
It's life, you know, like the heavy stuff, that's kind of what makes up life, you know, and life isn't always smiles and roses.
Yeah.
So, but there are still smiles. Again, it's life. There's still smiles in the musical as well. You know, you'll see really nice stuff.
Content.
You know, it embraces the wholesome family views as we follow the team's struggle to make it to the finals of the regional inter-school music, dance, and drama competitions.
Oh my gosh. So a tournament arc. It'll be doing a tournament arc.
Tournament arc. Yeah. I understand those words individually, but not together.
Buena Serena. No, like, okay, I also never heard of it until a few years ago. But basically, it's a type of arc used in anime storylines, right? So, you know, the typical storyline arcs, you have the coming of age arc, the rescue mission arcs, training arcs.
Okay, yeah, but those are storyline arcs.
Well, yes, they are, but not in this context that I'm talking about.
No, like storyline arcs, you know, like your Rags to Riches arc, your Icarus arc, your Man in a Hole
Icarus,
arc.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. What do you say? Icarus?
Icarus.
Oh, okay.
No, it's fine. It's Icarus now. Oh my gosh, I love it. No, yes, Icarus. Okay, wait, yes, but what you're talking about, those are story types.
Yeah.
Completely true. But you then have arcs where you have storylines, but they go over more than one episode in a series. They interconnect, you know, at the beginning, middle, and end.
Now we're talking series.
We have always been talking series.
Okay, anyway, it's the first time that I hear these big names. I'll adapt.
It's fine.
Basically, this is a tournament arc.
Yes, you know, so tournament arcs, they're where your character are put, you know, in direct competition with others. And they're the more beloved amongst the different archetypes. So I'm excited to see how it plays out in this musical, because that's what it's going to be. You know, it's going to be these six pupils going against other pupils in these different, like, in tournaments, in these different competitions.
You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, you're going to have to see, you know, other characters beyond just the six pupils.
Yeah.
Other pupils.
Yeah. Like, right? Sometimes you fall in love with the enemy, guys. It's fine. It's okay.
Well, it's also starring former East Africa's Got Talent winners from 2019, Esther and Ezekiel.
Hey.
And the lead child actors took 6 months rehearsing and being trained for this particular project.
Oh, so they really went all out with the preparation.
Like they should.
Yeah.
You know?
As they should.
Musicals
they should.
Really aren't easy. It takes a lot to shoot, to choreograph, to prepare.
Oh, yeah, no. It takes just that a little bit more work than everything else. Yeah, I agree.
But I can't wait to see it. It sounds exciting. It's a nice addition to that growing content catalog from Uganda.
Ooh.
And I can't wait to watch it. It's currently streaming on YouTube, so it's a must watch for everyone.
Hey! as soon as the trailer, we can watch it. Guess it's getting added to the list of things we have to watch.
Ish, it's a long list, huh?
I'm scared
to tell
you.
How long is that list?
No, I'm not telling you, bruh. We're going to expose ourselves, bruh. Just know there's a list, full stop.
Well, we're adding another to the list.
Yeah, Junior Drama Club. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, like, there's another one now that we're adding to the list.
No, did you not just hear what I just said?
We're going to make time. Don't worry.
Which one is this, Yanuk? Which one?
Coming to America. Emphasis coming to America. The second
coming to America. The number, not the word. Coming to America.
Can you continue?
I love the movie.
No, though. I love the first one as well.
The first one, yeah. Like, I'm talking really, about the first one.
I really love the first movie. It sat home with me. You know, it was like your original Wakanda, if you think about
Thank you.
Zamunda.
Yes.
Is Wakanda.
That was the original. And it was just so funny. And it was just.
And that African pride. The fact that they actually had elephants in their backyard.
You know. And they're just coming with all of this, like, why is everyone else so poor? Why are we the only rich ones here? It's so funny, dude. But yeah, it came out on the 5th.
I mean, but the response, unfortunately, has been kind of mixed.
At best, yeah.
But, you know, because it's a sequel to a timeless classic. It has a lot of big shoes to fill.
I mean, yeah. Let's be honest, guys. It really did come out of nowhere. It's just that no one expected it. You know, it's not to say that it shouldn't have come. It's just that, oh, we didn't know it. Maybe they could have prepared a little more. Maybe. But you know what? I'm just interested to see the characters, like Wesley Snipes.
He looks so unhinged in this movie. I don't know.
I love how he embodies the dictator role. Like, he looks as crazy as his character obviously is, but at the same time, kind of hot.
Okay, I mean, it's Wesley Snipes. It's Wesley.
I mean, he's a really great actor, just all around. You know, I've yet to catch him in a role that he has embodied. Let's just tell the truth. He's that good.
We'll see him in this film too, because you know, nostalgia demands that we watch it.
I can't wait to see
Eddie Murphy again. I can't wait to see him in all those different characters that he plays.
Plus, Davido's going to be in there.
Oh,
doing
yes.
what? I don't know. I just have to find out. That's all I know. I just need to know.
Well, maybe they're going to do that thing that African families do, you know,
what?
Tell him to sing for the guests.
We're not!
Like, they'll call, like, you know, they'll come to a party and just go, like, you like singing, eh?
Yay.
Sing for your uncle. Sing for your aunties.
They always used to do that. Even for me, growing up in Zim, we'd watch BTV. Then every time the dancers would come on, my grandma would be like, how, Kanti Niki, don't you know this? It's from your homeland. Come dance for us. And you're just like, I don't know why every single African family does that.
No, it's like, if you're talented and we know that you're creative, do it.
You know? They're just like, yeah, there we go. No, guys, if I had to make Davido do that, I'd probably make him sing
That's such an old song.
But it's my favorite.
Okay.
It's such a good
song.
Okay,
let's move on.
It's a good one. That's all Serena's been saying. This whole podcast, I'm so sorry, guys.
You know what? I want to get home and we can watch those movies.
Hey,
we've got a long list. We've got a long list.
Okay.
So moving on to the final piece of news, we're going all the way to Egypt this time.
Land of the pyramids. I know it's stereotypical to mention that, but come on, guys. Those pyramids are impressive as heck.
I mean, I'm still yet to go there. So I think I'm also going to keep talking about the pyramids until I see them.
Right?
Because, like, no, they look dope in pictures. So
people
can
thought
imagine.
Aliens built them. That's how cool they are.
It's also the land where Egyptian director Amir Ramses shot the film Curfew. It's an exploration of one secret, a taboo, too difficult for most people to even speak about. And that's child abuse.
Yeah. That's definitely a topic many communities to this day struggle to discuss.
It's so hidden. It's always swept under the rug.
So rarely dealt with in many cases. Even after brought to the front, it's quickly pushed back to the back.
And that's what this film discusses and investigates. It's about a mother who's released from prison years after being locked up for killing her husband.
Oh my word, why? Why did she kill him?
The summary never really tells us. It simply states now that she's free, she's trying to reconnect with her daughter, who is a victim of crimes herself.
Okay. It sounds like, you know, I'm hoping this isn't how the film actually goes, but to me it sounds like the mother killed the father because she caught him abusing their daughter.
I mean, it kind of sounds like, it sounds like the obvious.
Yeah, you know. But, but now the daughter's gone through her own share of trauma since then, you know, a cycle that continued despite the mother's actions.
Or maybe because of them. Oh. Losing both parents is a lot to go through, especially if one left because she tried to save you from the other.
No, guys, if that's how the plot goes, then my word. Complicated. Mm-hmm. Complicated and complex.
What makes it even more complicated is that the film is set during the Cairo curfews of 2013.
What?
When the city was in turmoil, meaning that there's this claustrophobic tension throughout the film. You know, with the curfews, families were basically forced to be in small spaces with each other for long bouts of time.
So just,
kind of like
the COVID
pandemic,
lockdowns,
you know, but because of other political issues. Yeah, so to top it off now, there's a secret that everyone's trying not to talk about.
And that secret just got released from prison.
I wonder if the film really does go the way we're visualizing it, huh?
You know, probably not. But it's fun guessing. But it just sounds like there's a lot that can be played with in the storyline. And I think he goes with it.
I mean, it sounds like we can always check it out on OSN. That's where it's currently streaming after its debut last year at the Cairo International Film Festival.
Yeah, no. It sounds like a film festival film. You know films that just sound like festival films? You're like, this has to be going to a festival because it is heavy.
You're going to like this. You're going to like this. The director says it's a film about the silence. That just shows how heavy it is and the price that gets paid for it.
I guess like all silences, they have that, you know, have to do with secrets. It has an expiration date. A curfew.
Wait, did you just... I don't know. I didn't like that.
What?
You tried.
I tried. You know, it's expiration day, curfew. Okay.
And that is all we have for today. Another episode, another list of content to feast our eyes on. From family musicals and period dramas in the East.
To deeply moving films in the North and nostalgic sequels from over the seas.
There's a lot to watch from about our African countries. So stay tuned with us every week to keep your watch list updated with the latest.
Let's learn about one another through the media we make, people. It's still.
Special thanks to our content contributors, Michema Sinkala, Amber Itonjasit, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your new favorite podcast by following MultiChoice Talent Factory on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us. Which countries will we cover next? Angola,
Botswana,
Mozambique,
Ethiopia.
And tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Nikki Deo.
And this is Serene Serena. Signing out.
Salang Sintle.